You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
The new Browns Nike Summer Collection just arrived. Shop the team shop in downtown Cleveland at First Energy Stadium, open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. 7 days a week, or shop online on the Browns mobile app or at shop.clevelandbrowns.com. Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci, and before we get to our linebacker position preview, apparently the comments contained in the Greg Bedard article made by Mike Pettine have ruffled some feathers today, and I think it all stems from this, really. He was talking about the playbook, and he felt that in New England, they had a copy of the Jets playbook. And so apparently that has angered Rex Ryan. It has angered Bill Belichick. It has angered some of the people associated with those two teams. And there are some comments coming out now that clearly show that things are not good right now.
No, I'll tell you what, hearing and Rex Ryan said that his relationship is not in a good place.
Not in a good place.
With Mike Pettine. Not shocked by that. I'll share this now that that's kind of come out public. At the Senior Bowl down in Mobile, Alabama, when everything was pointing to Pettine becoming the head coach of the Browns, it would be like the next day. I want to say he was named on a Thursday, so this would have been Wednesday, my last day there, and I was summoned back for the news conference and such and headed back the next morning. That night, I spoke with Rex, and I've known Rex a long time, about Mike, and he was not complimentary about Mike Pettine as a coach, as the choice. I think much of that was colored by the fact that he wanted his brother, Rob Ryan, to get a head coaching job, wasn't getting any real sniffs anywhere for a head coaching position. And I think he thought it was even more natural having Rob having been here as a defensive coordinator to get the head coaching job. So I'm going to say it was skewed by that a little bit, but also maybe a sense of whatever you want to call it. I don't know if the word's betrayal or he just didn't feel any longer that Mike, who had been his confidant, his lieutenant, the guy he discovered and found from the video, you know, brought him into the Ravens, brought him into the NFL, and I don't know if he felt some level of, I don't even know what the word is, but he clearly was not in a good place from that point, and that was back in January, and so it doesn't surprise me. And then Bill Belichick commenting, well, both of them, I guess, because Pettine made the reference to the fact that
he said, I don't put a lot of quote this talking this, about his defensive is, playbook. This is Mike Pettine speaking now about his defensive playbook. Quote, I don't put a lot of graduate level information in it. We know in places like New England, it's only a matter of time that they somehow mysteriously end up with our playbook. End quote. Pettine told a story of how at Wes Welker's wedding, Tom Brady bragged a little bit to Jets outside linebackers coach Mike Smith, who was Welker's college roommate, that the Patriots may or may not have had possession of a couple of Jets defensive playbooks. He then went on to say, did Coach Pettine, quote, it didn't shock me because Rex would give them out like candy anyway. He gave one out to Alabama coach Nick Saban, and I was like, don't you know Saban and Belichick are pretty good friends? I have a feeling it's going to end up in New England. So that's that part of the story. That's the only part of it that touches on it. Yes. That part of the story, those two paragraphs that I just read, are the ones that have caused the dust up. And I think Rex is obviously going to take offense, so it wouldn't shock me because he gave them out like candy. And Bill Belichick probably not liking the fact that either A, one of the great things they had been doing for a while has been exposed, or that, you know, it's an implication that they had an unfair advantage against the Jets, given that they had the playbook. So
yeah, I mean, it could be all of the above, but it puts something out there. I'll tell you this, just the fact that there's some reaction to it on the part of Rex Ryan, on the part of Bill Belichick, I think
there
says a little something.
A little credibility.
Yes, exactly. When the more you protest, the more I think this brings to light some credibility issue to that, and also maybe some concern about what Mike might be able to do here with the Browns. I think I like that. I think people usually don't acknowledge you when they don't think of you as relevant.
I think, right?
I think they acknowledge you more. I don't know if that's a reach on my part to say that, but I'm going to say it.
I've liked Pettine's candor from day one. I like that it's continued. And listen, he's worried about what's going on here. He's not worried about what's going on in New York, and he's not worried about what's going on in New England, and I like that.
Right.
I'm fine with that. All right, we are going to stay worried about what's going on in Cleveland, though. We're going to get into our look at the linebacking position. And I think right now it's pretty clear, or not pretty clear, but I think there's, you know, a good – framework for these two positions. Let's start inside right
okay.
now.
Yep.
Carlos Dansby is going to start at one inside linebacker position. At the other inside, the Will position, I think that's where one of the great battles of camp is going to happen, to see who ultimately ends up starting alongside Carlos Dansby at the Will linebacker position. And I think right now it's a three-way battle between Craig Robertson, Christian Kirksey, or Chris Kirksey as we're calling him, Chris Kirksey,
yep.
and Darius Eubanks. And I think it is certainly possible that you will see a hybrid situation where Chris Kirksey or Robertson ends up maybe playing first, second downs or in run situations, and Eubanks becomes that nickel backer that is out there for his coverage skills as a former safety at Southern Georgia.
I think Darius Eubanks made himself a star of the offseason workouts.
Sure.
And I know sometimes that could be, you know, I don't want to even imply that that's derisive, but because, okay, if you've been a star of offseason workouts, who cares? But he definitely showed something and caught the attention of this coaching staff, I think, in a big way. And I think people were impressed with what they saw of him, the coaches for sure, the natural instinct, the sense of presence where the ball was, understanding this defense, being a quick study with that as well. Craig Robertson, in many cases, kind of calling out offensive formations based on what he saw in the tells. And not only that, this is where I think this is impressive. He saw guys that he has never been on the field, that had never shared a field with him before. We're not talking about incumbent Browns players on offense, some new guys on offense, just watching their tendencies in the course of a few weeks of offseason workouts, and he was anticipating how the play would go, what would be coming next based on what a player was or wasn't looking at, how he was or wasn't standing, leaning, etc. That's a thinking man's kind of linebacker. It's the perfect guy for that spot. I think he's done a tremendous job to keep himself in the thick, and I think there's a better than even chance he will start the year as a starter, that Chris Kirksey will be involved quite a bit, as will Darius Eubanks, but I think Chris Kirksey probably sees more time on special teams early on, and of course, Carlos Dansby, the veteran there in the leader, I think they're all benefiting from the Yoda in their room.
I think that they are, and obviously Dansby stands out as a stud, but when you think about the fact that you could have Dansby and Eubanks in there, a nickel situation is going to be tough to throw on, and it really is going to be a battle. I think Kirksey and Robertson are really battling for those early down snaps at that spot. I think it's going to be very, very interesting to see how that plays out, because I'll tell you what, Chris Kirksey was drafted to start. I really believe that Chris Kirksey was drafted to start.
No question.
And if he continues to progress like I thought he did over the second half, it's going to be tough to keep him off the field. But again, this just shows how a position that I think was a big liability for the Browns in one offseason now seems to have turned into a position with a little bit of strength and some depth and some interesting decisions and legitimate battles. And I'm excited to see that there. You also have guys like Tank Carter in the mix. He's going to have to fight really hard, I think, to break into the rotation there and make it. Zach Dials as well. But this, again, a team with a little bit of depth here at the inside linebacker position. And now we look at the outside linebackers. Yep. Again, you've got three guys really who are starters for two spots. And I think you're going to see a lot of rotation. You're going to see some looks in the nickel where all three are on the field. And I'm talking, of course, about Jabal Sheard, Barkevious Mingo, Paul Kruger. I think you're going to see situations where all three are on the field in nickel situations to get maximum rush there. But right now, the battle, I think, is going to be interesting between Kruger and Mingo to see who gets the most snaps opposite Sheard. I think Sheard's kind of the guy there. After those three, you know, Quentin Groves was let go. And I think one of the reasons Quentin Groves was let go is there's a young man by the name of Eric Martin in his second year from Nebraska, number 52, who has stepped up, can get to the quarterback. He has looked pretty good. You got Dials and Staples out there as well, but right now I think that Martin is looking pretty good as maybe being that extra rusher. It's going to come down to what he can do on special teams, but I liked what I've seen from Martin thus far.
I do too. I think as far as – yeah, I think the biggest story, the most – significant story regarding outside linebacker is just what we mentioned about whether or not Paul Kruger or Barkevious Mingo sees more time. My sense right now is Kruger is going to have the edge and has shown the most progress of the two during these offseason workouts, the sense I get. I think he's a more complete player. I think he has adjusted what he was doing that made him maybe a little more of a liability, or not, that isn't the right word, that made him less effective last year when he wasn't getting enough sacks, getting enough pressure because of the slow rush that he tended to do. He's been coached to be more aggressive off the ball. He was showing that. Be more of a straight line bull rusher. He was showing that. Drop weight. He did that. Got himself lighter, quicker, more responsive that way. Barkevious Mingo, I think, has made some improvement in coverage, some yes. improvement in awareness, but the operative word is some. He's got to make a lot more. And I think there's a satisfaction that he will contribute, that he will be better than he was last year. This coaching staff, Nathan's trusting its ability to put him in better positions, especially when it comes to coverage, that he won't find himself in as many mismatches.
And there's nothing wrong with Barkevious Mingo being a situational pass rusher, because he's going to be on the field a lot in this defense as an attacker, as long as he is good at that. His coverage skills have improved. There's still room to go there. But this is a team that also has the flexibility. You could even put Chris Kirksey down there if you know he's going to be in more of a coverage situation on the outside. There's a lot of flexibility in this linebacking group. And I think ultimately when Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine try to decide which eight backers or nine backers they ultimately end up keep, there are going to be some tough decisions there. But it's a good group inside and out. I think Jabal Sheard is ready to absolutely break out. You have the flexibility to use guys as rushers and in coverage and interchange them, disguise full defenses with the addition of Carlos Dansby, with the way that Eubanks has stepped up, with Kirksey there, with Robertson being put in, I think, better positions and fairer positions for him. He's had a nice offseason. This defense, again, you're going to hear this a lot. This defense is deep and it's talented. It is going to be very interesting to see and fun to see when it actually gets out there on the field with the pads on, Notorious.
Fun show today. I think we covered a heck of a lot of ground and really enjoyed doing it. We want to thank Jim Donovan from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network for being on with us. We want to thank Connor Shaw for joining us and working with the youth camp that has been going on, that will continue on tomorrow at First Energy Stadium, along with the other rookies. Connor being part of that and gave us a lot of good stuff and insights into himself, into his thinking. We want to thank our producers, Jason Gibbs and Casey Koulis, for their outstanding work. Want to thank you for hanging out with us, and we appreciate the interaction that we got there. We always get from you. All right. For Nathan Zagar. Oh, by the way, Hooli is next. Make sure you're sticking around for that. For Nathan, I am Vic, and we will talk to you again tomorrow on Cleveland Browns Daily.
Driven by Liberty Ford.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.